Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, December 22nd, 2017. The warring parties at the forum in Addis Ababa sign a cessation of hostilities agreement, but will it hold?
Signing of a document is a very simple exercise, but let me make this appeal to all the parties to this agreement. Please adhere to the commitment you have made tonight to cease all forms of hostilities. Also urge your supporters to do the same.
And the government's head of delegation, despite bitter negotiations, says the ceasefire is good for the country.
We were able to put our view through and that got adopted. And we also went through how to deal with verification mechanism, citizen. So that was very good. I think we're making progress.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Intergovernmental Authority on Development, IGAD, wrapped up the High-Level Revitalization Forum in Addis Ababa yesterday by having all parties sign an agreement on the cessation of hostilities, protection of civilians, and humanitarian access in South Sudan. IGAD Special Envoy for South Sudan, Ismail Weiss, says the agreement goes into effect at midnight, South Sudan local time, on December 24th.
The milestone achieved during this week could not be possible without the constructive engagement, goodwill, and support of the South Sudanese delegates.
Stakeholders included representatives of the government of South Sudan, opposition parties, armed and unarmed groups, civil society groups, women, and youth. They met this week at the African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa to revive the collapsed South Sudan 2015 peace deal. African Union chairperson Moussa Faki Mohamed strongly advised the South Sudanese leaders to live up to the pledges they have made during the negotiations of a ceasefire agreement. Mohamed says the entire African continent and the East African region is interested in finding an end to the conflict in South Sudan.
The real test of the seriousness of your commitment would reside in the practical actions that you would take to implement the terms of this agreement. Practical actions to stop the fighting, offensives and counteroffensives that have killed so many innocent civilians, bereaved so many families, and caused so much damage.
Mohamed says the signing of the cessation of hostilities comes in the backdrop of continued reports of insecurity across South Sudan. Ethiopian Foreign Minister Workne Jabiehu, who is also chairman of IGAD's Council of Ministers, warned South Sudanese to stop the fighting in their country.
I must emphasize that we will continue to follow up and single out spoilers to be named and shamed and take action as necessary to ensure your effort in reaching this decision is not be wasted. We cannot sit idle by while this important process is picking up. Along with you, we are saying enough is enough.
The top Ethiopian diplomat assured South Sudanese that his country will ensure that the efforts of IGAD's seven member countries to bring peace in South Sudan is not undermined by individuals or the warring groups. Augustino Njoroge is the deputy chairman of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, a body charged with monitoring the 2015 peace deal. Njoroge applauded the various South Sudanese stakeholders for signing a ceasefire accord to create an environment for further negotiations of the failed 2015 peace deal.
This is only the beginning of the high-level revitalization forum, and we expect that the spirit in which this phase of the cessation of hostility has been concluded will continue. We in JEMEC look forward to your return for further negotiations.
The IGAD leaders decided to revive the shattered 2015 peace deal after JEMEC documented several incidences of violations by both the government of South Sudan and rebels loyal to Riek Machar. IGAD Special Envoy reminded the parties who signed the cessation of hostilities to respect the terms of the agreement.
Signing of a document is a very simple exercise, but let me make this appeal to all the parties to this agreement. please adhere to the commitment you have made tonight to cease all forms of hostilities. Also urge your supporters to do the same.
The stakeholders say they're optimistic peace will return to South Sudan despite a difficult 4 days of negotiations at the African Union headquarters in Ethiopia. Most stakeholders will be traveling back to their various destinations tomorrow. Martin Elia Lamoro, the CARE administration's head of delegation at the talk, says despite the bitter arguments among various stakeholders, the agreement is best for the country.
We started from a very difficult phase in the council. We managed to pass the view of the government through. And now we then have the deadlock on issues of procurement or purchase of weapons. We were able to also put our view through and that got adopted. And we also went through how to deal with verification mechanism, CITESAM. So that was very good. I think we're making progress.
South Sudan's foreign minister, Deng Alor, signed the ceasefire accord on behalf of the SPLM former political detainees. He says the deal is what he called a good start.
I feel happy because this is the beginning of the implementation of the revitalization agreement. This is the most important issue in that document is about the cessation of hostilities. During the negotiations period, which is very good. It creates confidence building and also gives confidence, peace to our people in South Sudan.
The former detainees signed the 2015 peace deal and were given ministerial and parliamentary seats in the transitional government of national unity. The spokesman of the National Salvation Front, Yen Matthew, remains skeptical. He says the deal looks good on paper, but the challenge is in its implementation. Matthew says he still remains hopeful that the peace will return to South Sudan.
I hope all the parties would commit to it, and I would verily like, on behalf of National Salvation Front, to congratulate our people over this.
The leader of the National Democratic Forum, Lama Kol, says the ceasefire deal means a lot to South Sudanese.
It is a Christmas gift for the people of South Sudan, provided we respect it. We think that it is a good agreement in the sense that it allows the guns to be silent for the humanitarian access to for the people and for the parties to be prepared for the next round of talks.
The former first vice president and rebel leader Riek Machar was not at the talks. He was asked to delegate three party officials to attend the talks. Henry Odwar is deputy chairman of the SPLM-IO Machar faction. Odwar says the agreement looks good and should be implemented.
There is a sense of hope. There is a sense of, that the people of South Sudan are now having a glimpse into a future that will be full of peace, hope.
The representatives of Norway, UK, China, Japan, the EU, United Nations, African Union, and IGAD forum member countries signed as guarantors of the ceasefire agreement. The representatives of the United States declined to sign. This report was compiled by John Tanza in Addis Ababa. The second phase of the High-Level Revitalization Forum will start the second week of January. The various parties will leave Addis Ababa tomorrow and are expected to meet again in February to examine the 2015 deal and include other new groups who rebelled against President Kiir's administration after the collapse of the deal in July 2016. Residents of Juba Town welcome the signing of the Cessation of Hostilities Agreement. Waki Simon Mudu has more for VOA from Juba.
The cessation of the hostility agreement was signed by AMTN and AMT groups. The 18-page document commits the parties to cease hostilities by midnight December 24th. While residents of Juba welcome the deal, they say they want to see a serious commitment from the parties on fully implementing the agreement. Resident Wani Richard says he wants to see positive change so that South Sudanese who fled to neighboring countries can return home.
Let the two warring parties now show commitment and abide by the agreement of the cessation of hostilities, which is so far signed, so that they can continue in the same spirit to finish other areas or other chapters that are still ahead to be signed. Again, really to reach to that final stage of the peace agreement.
Resident Margaret Modi is cautiously optimistic.
These protocols have been signing since 2015. The protocol which was signed, and again, the other ones were signed in Tanzania. Up to now, we have not seen any outcome of the other protocols. I hope this time, the one which was signed yesterday, it will yield a fruit.
Nathaniel Garang, who is living in Juba, says he wants to see stability after the ceasefire deal was signed by the government and more than 27 different groups.
The cessation of facilities that was signed yesterday, as a citizen of South Sudan, we welcome it. Seriously, because we have seen the pains and the peace is not in the country for a couple of some years.
Another Juba resident, Wani Michael, is skeptical the signing will make any difference. He says the guns must be silenced so humanitarian aid agencies and citizens can move freely to any part of the country.
I personally don't celebrate signing of documents because we have seen so many agreements being signed over agreements. And what we want to celebrate is when the guns have gone silent. So we want to see how the document that is signed in Addis Ababa will translate itself into what is going on the ground. How will the forces of the different warring parties, how will they adhere to the cessation of hostilities?
IGAD officials say the signing of the cessation of the hostility deal marks the start of a revitalization process of the failed South Sudan's 2015 peace agreement. The revitalization forum was called by the IGAD heads of state in July to restore a permanent ceasefire, ensure full implementation of the peace agreement, and revise the agreement to a more realistic timeline and implementation schedule. James Okuk, a political analyst and a lecturer of political science at the University of Juba, says the signing of the ceasefire deal is a move in the right direction.
If the parties implement it, people will clap for them and then they will hold them to their shoulders and tell them they are good peacemakers, and then they will close the chapter of the past and then they open a new chapter for the future. But if they try to misbehave and then violate it as if it was the same agreement they have violated this time, the punitive measures are very clear there.
Fighting between rebels and South Sudan government forces was reported in Lier and Pagak just after the ceasefire deal was signed. IGAD mediators are yet to monitor the ceasefire before talks on power sharing, transitional justice and security arrangements, among other issues, convene in February next year. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The United States announced its first set of sanctions under the Global Magnitsky Act yesterday. The U.S. Department of Treasury said in a statement yesterday that the Trump administration launched the new sanctions to target human rights abusers and what it termed corrupt actors around the world. The list included a number of individuals and entities, including Benjamin Bol Mill, a South Sudanese citizen. Bol is the president of Thai South Sudan Construction Company Limited, or ABMC, and has served as the chairman of the South Sudan Chamber of Commerce, Industry and Agriculture. Brad Brooks Rubin, the policy director for the Sentry, says the move by the Department of the Treasury could be a game changer.
It's a very big deal for now, and we have to see, you know, whenever there's any type of sanctions actions, there's really two things you need to look at. One is the impact that the action has itself on the targets and on those around the targets. And then two, is there a sustaining level of action? Is it a one-off, or does the government continue to build on the sanctions they've done with expanding who in the network is already targeted, as well as do they go after new targets? And so, the United States came out with a real bang yesterday and really going after targets that show that they intend for this legislation to have real impact. You know, the global Magnitsky law builds on what's called the Russia Magnitsky law from several years ago, and that has had has been an important part of our sanctions approach against Russia for targeting of human rights defenders and those battling corruption there. It's a big deal globally, and then again in South Sudan, going after Benjamin Balmel, who has been one of President Kiir's chief business, really business proxies for many years, and connected to quite a few corrupt deals, and is really part of what's helping to financially support the Kiir network is really essential as we start to focus again on negotiations that can hopefully end the fighting in South Sudan.
In the press release that the Enough Project put out yesterday, you are quoted as saying that the United States has used financial pressures for decades. So I'm curious, what is different about this development that came out yesterday?
Well, we've used financial pressures for decades against other kinds of threats. Narcotics, organized crime, counterterrorism, and to be able to see that on a global scale, the United States is willing to go after targets who are responsible for acts of significant corruption, as well as targeting human rights defenders, and really placing those kinds of threats. And the executive order, explains how those activities can lead to instability and conflict and the United States has long been accused of, really only targeting a few illicit activities across the globe and not taking a strong enough stand against human rights abuses and against corruption. And yesterday is a really strong step towards, addressing those concerns with the same kind of pressure that we address these other threats. The Enough Project's argument over the last few years is that it is corruption that allows these kinds of violent kleptocracies to persist. And so unless we're willing to use those financial pressures against those in power, negotiations and peace processes will really only ever get so far. And so if we want to put hope in the negotiations and the efforts around peace in South Sudan, these kinds of pressures are required.
That was Brad Brooks Rubin, Policy Director at the Sentry, speaking to me earlier today from Mexico. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Since the government stepped up security for the Christmas season was announced, do Juba residents feel more safe? Find out when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what food would you cook to impress a guest?
It depends. If the guest is a once in a while guest, I would sort a chicken for that guest. But if it is a frequent guest, I would look for alternatives like fish.
I will either cook for them goat meat or chicken, and then plus others greens aside so that they will make with that.
It should be banku and okra stew. It takes a lot to prepare that food, and it's my favorite. Do appreciate my cooking skills.
To impress the guests, I'll cook a local dish. That's ampesi yam and then garden eggs with egg and kobe. That's salted tilapia.
Fried rice with beef sauce. It is very nice. It looks so nice with the vegetables. It looks so appetizing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Some residents in Juba say since the government announced beefed-up security for Christmas and New Year's festivities, they have seen a few more patrols on the streets of the capital, but say they remain on alert. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Days after authorities announced stepped-up security during the Christmas season to crack down on would-be criminals, some Juba residents say they believe the announcement sent a strong warning to gangs. But others say they are still taking maximum precautions and want the government to do more to improve security. Martin Albert Lojong, a resident of Rock City, says armed criminals attacked his home 2 weeks ago but were scared off by his dogs. Lojong says though authorities vowed to beef up security, he does not believe that no home will be attacked or any lives lost during the holidays.
We are now in insecurity. Even at the night, cannot allow my children to be out up to 9 because of the insecurity. So our area, some days back, even tips enter to my home. Enter to my home, because I have one dog which is very, very, very danger dog in the house. So they fight with them and they kill one.
Lojong says the thieves left without taking any valuables from his home, but he still does not feel safe.
Concerning the security, that is, I cannot talk of because our situation of our country is not good. Yes, we go to the search, after search, we come back. Then children should go somewhere until up to, according to my advice, up to 6, 7:30, everybody within the compound.
Despite his security concerns, Lojong advises other Juba residents to embrace the Christmas season.
Don't put all the money because of the enjoyment of the Christmas. Because the coming month, we are only having 1 month. The second month is for the school. When the start of the school opens, we need our children to be taken to the school.
Habu Abdallah, a resident of the Gudele area, says little has improved. Speaking in Arabic, he says, people especially do not feel safe at night.
You cannot get out at night to urinate. We urinate in the basin and women urinate inside containers of powder, soap, because there is no peace and security. That is why we are calling on the governments and those people outside to agree so as to bring peace.
Speaking in Arabic, Lafina Albert, a resident of Juba's Gurey neighborhood, says police should continue improving security beyond the Christmas season.
In our residential area there in Gurey 2 weeks ago, it was very worse. Right from 7 p.m., unknown gunmen could attack people in their homes, and we were wondering, are these soldiers or criminals coming to attack people? But as the government said, they are improving the security. For the last 2 days, Gure is somehow calm.
Speaking in Arabic, resident Anei Ton, who lives near the Jebel Market, says residents no longer worry that much about nighttime robberies.
The security is good. There are no many gangs, and we are staying in peace, celebrating Christmas with our families.
Ton says the big problem now is the economic crisis in the country, which prevents his family from fully enjoying the Christmas festival. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Families in Juba are preparing for Christmas with the little resources they have amid the country's serious economic crisis. South Sudanese usually clean and paint their homes using homemade paint, but clothes or shoes for their loved ones. But this year, most families do not have money to celebrate Christmas in the usual way. Dimo Silva Aurelio has that story as well for VOA from Juba.
Dozens of women in Juba's Gudele neighborhood gathered at a local bakery to bake biscuits and cakes for Christmas Day on Monday. Nefisa Hamis, who came to the bakery in Gudele's area to bake some cakes, says preparation for Christmas in a big family like hers is not easy. Speaking in Arabic, Hamisa says she spends about 50,000 South Sudanese pounds to buy clothes for her kids and items for the cakes that she bakes for her family.
It was not easy at the beginning to make this preparation, but later I managed to get 10 kilograms of biscuit and 10 kilograms for the cakes. It cost me 2,000 South Sudanese pounds for the biscuit, 2,000 for the cake, and 5,000 for renting the oven.
Hamisa says all she wants for Christmas is peace in her country in 2018.
I'm wishing for peace for everybody, especially those in the villages. We don't need war, and for our president, we wish him good health, and we need Riek Machar to come to Juba so that peace prevails.
Soura Salim, a Muslim mother of three children, says she is proud to join Christians across South Sudan in celebrating Christmas. Salim was with her 8-year-old boy to help her bake Christmas cakes at Budele Bakery. Salim says Muslims and Christians should feast together as a sign of peaceful coexistence and harmony in the nation's capital.
During Christmas, I also celebrate, dress up my kids, and also prepare things like cakes for the visitors. So whether it is for Christians or Muslims, I make celebration, for I don't discriminate, we are one.
She says the cost of living is skyrocketing and food commodities are very expensive in Juba.
I was in market to buy some clothes for my children. Only a trouser for my son was at 2,500 SSV together with the shirt. It was costing 5,000 SSV apart from the shoes. So we are doing according to our ability. Things like oil and flour are also expensive.
Albert Juma Arcangelo was a teacher but left his job because he wasn't paid. Arcangelo now works for a local timber company but says he still does not have money to buy Christmas presents. He says the money he earns is reserved for buying food.
My children is going to eat this Xmas with the old clothes because the small one we have here, this one for food.
But Arcangelo says he will celebrate Christmas by going for prayers and will keep his door open for visitors.
After prayer and then we come back at home. And then the smalls, when we have here small water, and then we eat, and then we enjoy with my children, like food. And then even this one, Simsims, even I told to my wife to make the something like Kenyimoro, and then we enjoy.
Arcangelo says he will also join a neighbor to celebrate Christmas.
He's going to slaughter to us goats, and then we are going to meet all the neighbors. Yeah, because here, even that site, we have many neighbors there, and then even in the front. One day we didn't quarrel with them, and then I think we have to continue with this spirit until the day when God will.
Christians believe Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem on Christmas, December 25th. In South Sudan, Christians celebrate by singing Christmas carols and saying prayers on the Christmas Eve. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
And that's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song Yesu Moto Moto by Barakole Taduda. Listening to Barakole Taduda with the song Yesu Moto Moto. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Do you have a comment about our show? Let us know. You can find us on the web at South Sudan at voanews.com or check us out on our Facebook site at South Sudan in Focus. Have a peaceful holiday weekend and join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.